Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew in chapter 16. In verse 18, we have been looking at the thought, what is the church? What is the assembly? This 18th verse says, the Lord said he would build his assembly. His assembly. I will build my assembly, my ecclesia. And one of the things, beautiful things of an assembly of the Lord, they have the privilege of praying for one another, particularly those in the assembly that are sick. So we, as the Grace Baptist Assembly of Melbourne, Florida, we want to remember Sister Kim and Sister Kathy in our prayers this afternoon as they are, well, let's put it like this, under the weather. They're ill, not feeling well. It's the providence of the Lord in their life. Verse 18 in the 16th chapter of Matthew. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, my ecclesia, my assembly, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If there was ever a time, whether you can see it on paper trail or not, if there was ever a time that his assembly did not exist on the face of the earth since the days that he built his assembly, then the gates of hell prevailed against him. So we know from this statement of the Lord Jesus Christ that was not a possibility that there would ever be a period of time upon the earth that his assembly would not exist until he comes back for her. Turn with me now to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians and chapter 5. Verse 23, actually, we'll read through verse 33 this afternoon. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, as Christ loved his body, the church, He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. As we had come in our study of the book of Ephesians, and as we have progressed through nearly four and a half chapters now, and we came to this point concerning submission and concerning wives being in submission to their husbands, and we see Christ using the illustration, or the Holy Spirit using the illustration of Christ and his church. That is, the marriage relationship of a husband and wife is to picture the same relationship that exists between Christ and his church. And because there is much confusion that abounds in the world today concerning the church and what the church is, it prompted us into these studies concerning the Lord's kind of church, the Lord's kind of assembly. We have been looking at every instance in Scripture, or endeavoring to look at every instance in Scripture where the Greek word ekklesia has been translated into church or assembly. We started off with those passages of Scripture that have reference to a visible assembly in a certain location. Backing up just a little bit, of all those 117 references, you'll not find, if you context of the Scriptures, you'll not find one instance of a universal church. You'll never find one instance where all the saved, when a man gets saved, he's automatically added to a universal church. There's confusion. There's confusion over the metaphoric terms that are used. Basically over in Christ and in the body of Christ. We're not looking at those today. We will be looking at those. That's where the confusion lies. Man reasons, well, if you're in Christ, you're in the body of Christ. And so they have all the saved being in the church. The Scriptures don't back that up anywhere. And once we conclude this study, if you're not aware of it now, have to say amen that is so. Secondly, we looked at the context of some scriptures, where it wasn't definitely stated that it was a church in a certain location, but if you look at the verse and in its context, the context of that verse demanded that it was this church in this location. There again, it was a visible assembly. It was not a universal assembly. We concluded that last week. Today we want to look at, as we said last week when we closed out, that we would be looking at some assemblies that are said to be in the home, in the house of certain individuals. There again, I ask you, if an assembly in a house, is it universal? It can't be. It just can't be. Turn with me, first of all, to the book of Romans. The book of Romans and chapter 16. Look with me here at verse 5. Well, let's begin with verse 3, because it's talking about these individuals. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Any Bible student ought to immediately recognize the names here, Aquila and Priscilla, who have for my life laid down their own necks, under whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Whose house is he talking about? Well, the subject was Aquila and Priscilla. Greeting them, and also greeting not only Aquila and Priscilla, but the church that is in their house. Now, I don't know what church existed in their house at this time. What we know about Aquila and Priscilla, they were Paul's helpers in the ministry. Ever since Paul went to Corinth, and at Corinth, he met Aquila and Priscilla, who were members in the assembly at Corinth. Now, as they had a desire to work with Paul and help Paul, Paul, leaving Corinth, went to Ephesus, and it appears that Aquila and Priscilla went with him to Ephesus, but Paul didn't left Ephesus. Aquila and Priscilla stayed there at Ephesus. They met a man. Aquila and Priscilla met a man who was saved and was preaching, but knew only the baptism of John. And Aquila and Priscilla expounded to him more perfectly the way of the Lord. And that man continued in a more perfect knowledge and understanding, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, many souls being saved. And then we find Paul going back and returning to Corinth later on. Whether Aquila and Priscilla did, or whether Aquila and Priscilla, where they ended up, we don't know at this point. But Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wanting to greet the saints in different places, wanted to greet Aquila and Priscilla, who had been helpers, his helpers in his journeys, and also the assembly that was in their house. You see, just because the church at Jerusalem had grown to mammoth proportions, we automatically assume that the churches that we see in Scripture were large churches, but obviously that's not so. There were churches that were small in number, and so small that they met in houses. Wasn't necessary for them to go to a synagogue, rent a synagogue, or some big gathering place to assemble together. They just met in some one of the members' house that were free to open the house. But the point is, we don't want to lose sight of it. An assembly that met in Aquila and Priscilla's house. That demands, as the other scriptures that we've looked at, that this was not a universal assembly. It was a visible assembly in a certain location. What the city was, we don't know. But we know it was in a house that they assembled in. Turn with me now to the book of 1 Corinthians. And chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And look with me at verse 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. There's the name again. They had been members of the church of Corinth, but it's obviously they weren't there now. They were somewhere else with the apostle and his helping him in his labors. And the Paul is saluting the church, and Aquila and Priscilla also salute you. With the church that is in their house. See, back in Romans, Paul mentions the church that is in their house. And here to the Corinthians, he mentions the church that was in their house. So Aquila and Priscilla are not back at Corinth. We don't know where they were at. But it's obvious. There's a church, there was an assembly that met at Aquila and Priscilla's house. However often they met at Aquila and Priscilla's house. They assembled, as an assembly does, they assembled together. One other. No, two others, excuse me. Colossians chapter 4. And look with me at verse 15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. We don't know much about this Nymphas, but one thing we know, he opened his house to an assembly. To the assembly that he was a member of. They met in his house, and here Paul mentions him as one who entertained an assembly in his house in his greetings. Now, one other, the book of Philemon. Philemon, is said to do the same thing. Entertain a church in his house, assembly in his house. Philemon, and there's only one chapter, so turn to chapter 1 and verse 2. And to our beloved Epia and Archippus, our fellow soldiers, and to the church in thy house, to the assembly in thy house. You see, in his greetings with these others, he includes and be sure to greet the church, the assembly, in thy house. A lot of times, Brother Bourne and I will talk on the phone. And when we're saying our goodbyes, he'll say, greet the saints there in the church. And sometimes I forget to. Sometimes I remember to tell you, Brother Bowen said, hello. Same thing. That's what Paul's doing here. He's saying, you tell, greet Appia and Archippus, our fellow servants, and also the church, the assembly, in your house. And the house. Again, I want to remind you, what is the purpose of looking at these, shall we say, four, some might say, oh, they're insignificant. They're not insignificant. They're not insignificant. We're looking at all 117 passages, eventually, that show us the scriptures know nothing of a universal assembly. Nothing of a universal assembly. Now moving on. There are three times that a local, visible church is referred to as, get this, the whole church. If you're reading along and you see the whole church, if you're a universalist, you're thinking all the same. Well, I'm here to tell you the data doesn't even fit the context. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles. And it was, I'm going to stop right there. Because we broke into the middle of a context. What is going on here? What has transpired here? To bring you up to date, Paul and Barnabas were led of the Holy Spirit to do missionary work. Laid it on the church at Antioch to send them forth. They went forth doing missionary work. They're known as Paul's first missionary journey. Preaching the gospel, organizing churches under the authority of the church at Antioch. They go through the 14th chapter. They ordain elders in every city where they had established churches. They return to Antioch. They give an accounting of what went on. We come into the 15th chapter. There's some saved Jews up at Jerusalem that they travel down to Antioch, and they're trying to impose on those Gentiles.
that it's necessary that they be circumcised in order to be saved. They can't, yes, it's by grace, but you've got to be circumcised too. And Paul and Barnabas got into a sharp discussion with those Judaizers from the church at Jerusalem. The church at Antioch deemed it necessary to send Paul and Barnabas and others in the company up to the church at Jerusalem, to the apostles, to talk to the apostles about this matter. They've talked to the apostles about this matter. Peter gets up and addresses them, as does James address them. This is wrong. It's by grace, grace only. No circumcision. We're imposing on them something that is not necessary.
Now, back to our verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. What transpires in this verse? They're at Jerusalem. They've settled the matter. The apostles and elders. The apostles and elders where? Where were the apostles? The apostles were at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem. The apostles and elders. And oh, it's not just an apostle-elder thing. The whole assembly. What whole assembly? The assembly at Jerusalem. The whole assembly at Jerusalem. It wasn't just apostles and elders. It's the whole assembly at Jerusalem. The Jerusalem church, we would say.
Sent with Paul and Barnabas, Barsabbas, or Judas, and Silas, and we find they returned to Antioch. In the course of things, they tell them what it is. The only thing that we admonish you Gentiles concerning is to abstain from things offered to idols and from blood. And Paul says to Barnabas, it's time that we go visit the churches again, the brethren, the saints. Barnabas wants to take John Mark with him. Paul says, no, because in the middle of our journey, John Mark left us before. And we don't need that headache again. They disagreed. Barnabas says, well, I'm going with John Mark. And Paul said to Silas, who remained at Antioch, after being sent down to Antioch to take the message, Silas said, okay. And so Paul and Silas went one way and Barnabas and Mark went another. The point, though, the whole assembly, it was the whole Jerusalem assembly. If it's universal, how does the whole universal assembly come together and decide anything?
Just an impossibility, isn't it?
Turn with me to the book of Romans again. The book of Romans in the 16th chapter again. In verse 23. Gaius, mine host. Who's Gaius? Well, Paul mentions him in the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians as one he baptized in the church of Corinth. He's a member of the church of Corinth. Became a helper of Paul. And so he says, now, in verse 23, he said, this is that Gaius. Mine host, he's hosting me. He's showing me and my company hospitality. And of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus the chamberlain in the city saluteth you, and Quartus, a brother. The whole church. What whole church? Gaius. But not only Gaius, the whole church. What church was Gaius a member of? Church at Corinth. So Gaius and the whole church at Corinth saluteth you. You see, it's a certain assembly in a certain location, and it's classified whole. You can't say Gaius and the whole universal church salute you. But you can of a particular local assembly in a certain location. Gaius was a member of that assembly. Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 23, if therefore the whole church become together, we shouldn't have to go any further, should we? If the church is universal, how is the whole assembly going to come together? Well, that's just an impossible feat. It's just not going to happen. Context again. Who's the letter written to? The letter is written to the church at Corinth. In this chapter, he's dealing with speaking in tongues versus prophesying. Man who speaks in tongues, if the tongue he's speaking in no one else recognizes, he's not profitable to them. He's only profitable if he has an interpreter. If he doesn't have an interpreter, then he's to sit down and be quiet. And he and God can commune. He that prophesies benefits the whole church, the whole assembly. And if the whole assembly, the whole Corinthian assembly, be come together into one place. Oh, there's another possibility. You can't get a whole assembly of the universal to assemble together, much less into one place. I don't care. You can take the largest coliseum, the largest stadium in the world, and it's not going to be able to house A whole universal assembly. If it includes all the saved, that's just not a possibility. You see, so we're talking about a whole assembly that gathers together, and they not only gather together, but they come together in one place. And all this assembly speak with tongues. And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say that you're mad? You see, today, to this point,
We've not seen one scripture that it may even make sense that the assembly would be a universal assembly of some mystical nature. One more thought before we close. As long as we're on this coming together, the church is said to come together. There again, the argument, how does a universal of all the saved, how do they come together? They don't. But Scripture uses that terminology. They come together or they gather together. Acts, again, the book of Acts in chapter 11. Book of Acts, chapter 11. And this is right after the organization of the church at Antioch. Barnabas had been set down there by the Jerusalem church, and the church at Antioch was organized. And then he departed in verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. He went looking for Saul. He'd met him before, knew him. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They assembled themselves together and taught, what does it say? Much people. They assembled themselves together with the assembly and taught much people. There, again, if the assembly is universal, how do you assemble yourself together? How is Brother Mike and I going to assemble ourselves together with the assembly and teach them anything? It's talking, they, where were they? They were at Antioch. They assembled themselves together with the church in Antioch and taught much people. They were fulfilling the last part of the Great Commission. Continue to teach. You see, they had preached the gospel. The gospel had been preached. Souls were saved. Barnabas went down there, baptized them into the church. And then Barnabas and Saul are teaching them the all things whatsoever the Lord hath commanded them. Turn with me to the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter of Acts. And look at verse 27. Verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, notice, take note. They gathered together what? They gathered together some people. They gathered together an assembly. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. What assembly did they gather together? Well, it's the same assembly they gathered, assembled with back in the 11th chapter. Only this time, it is to report back to them, because they had been sent out by this church to do mission work. They went out and did mission work, and as is the proper way to do mission work is you're sent out by the church, a church, and you do mission work, and at the end of your missionary journey, after a time, you come back to that church that sent you out, and you report.
What?
But these verses preceding it let us know they were returned to Antioch. They returned to the church that sent them forth, and they rehearsed with them what God had done with them, and how that many people had been saved, and how that many churches had been established for the Lord. There again, they assembled together with 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look with me at verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, you come together in an assembly. And there again, I ask you, what assembly? Is it a universal assembly? Well, it'd be pretty hard to come together with a universal assembly. It would be impossible. The context, to make it quick, written to the church at Corinth. He's speaking to the church at Corinth. He's addressing some issues that were wrong and needed to be corrected. And he said, when you come together in the church, the assembly at Corinth, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, when you, church at Corinth, come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. Here, these individuals that he's addressing were coming together in a fashion. They were eating and drinking. They were being gluttons. And they were being drunkards. And they were doing that under the guise of coming to partake of the Lord's table. This assembly, what assembly? A universal assembly coming together to partake of the Lord's table? No. It's the assembly at Corinth. And they had made abuse of the Lord's table. One other. Nope, that's it. Yeah, we read through verse 21. Okay. Well, we're going to stop there.